Well, I can't wait to meet our host. I hear this is only one of his beat parties.
Stay positive, the love will come back to me. Stay positive, the love will come back to me. Stay positive, the love will come back to me. Stay positive, the love will come back to me.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Harry Day with Too True to Lie. I did not think I would be able to gather the material to do this episode. I'd gathered some and left it on a notepad on my computer. And now that I have the house alone, quiet tonight, I can, you know, do an episode uninterrupted as I tried to do. And so I went back and started looking a little further into this subject. And I found, you know, I found some stuff, but then I found this article, and the article is in Rolling Stone magazine, so you'll have to take it for what it's worth, if that even makes sense. That saying doesn't really make sense, because worth and value differ between every other person. I would like to say that this podcast does not necessarily agree with the content that I am going to tell my audience. I am an all-accepting entity who wants people to be themselves however they feel they should be themselves, as long as they aren't hurting others. AKA, I'm a libertarian, even though I always vote right, because that's just smart economics. But we're going to try to ram on through this episode about furries. I don't know if you know what a furry is. I don't know if you've seen a furry. Really, they exist in, you know, large cities, more smaller cities and towns up north in the northeast and out west in the United States. I've yet to see one that I can think of here in Mississippi. There may be a few in the capital. There may be some down on the coast. I would imagine definitely there are some in New Orleans. Memphis, I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't want to be a furry in the summer in the South because it's so hot. And you're wearing this outfit. Basically, they're like college mascots. Like Mississippi State, where I went, has Bully. And it's a student in a, you know, fake fur suit with a little uniform on, usually. And a big ass head. I mean, that is a furry, but no, he's a college mascot. They've been around forever. These are something a little different. It's a lifestyle. And I guess if I just go ahead and start off with my material, I can properly relate it to my listeners, which I thank for listening. My friend down outside of Hattiesburg sent me a text recently. Enjoyed a recent show. Gave me some ideas for some shows, you know, some subject matter. And I appreciate that. And I like to keep a clean phone. So I don't keep a lot of emails unless they're very important, or texts unless they're immediate family. I just clean all the excess out. Doesn't mean I don't like you or care for you. That's completely untrue. But I do not remember the ideas that you sent me. But hopefully you'll enjoy the ridiculousness of furries. Ooh, I wonder if there are any furries in Hattiesburg, you know, students at USM. Okay, okay. Let me take a sip of my tea. I had to go. I went and filled it up before I started this. So I've got a full icy mug of my Arizona green tea. Oh, that's good. Ooh, that's more honeyier than usual. All right, furries. We're gonna dip a little into things like furries very briefly in the beginning, but this is mostly about furries. My daughter and her friends know all about furries and cosplay, and they do this little hand thing while saying some kind of phrase, and they get me to do it and then laugh at me, and I don't care, you know. Actually, I've gotten pretty good at the weird hand gestures while emoting. Anyway, so most people likely have never heard of furries or therians or otherkins. Those are the three things. Well, a furry is an individual that identifies as an animal, usually a cat or a dog or a wolf, though there are others. People that identify as a furry will dress up in animal ears and tails and act like that animal in their everyday life. They will go beyond just animal ears and tails. They'll wear, you know, the full jumper furry outfit that looks like a dog or a cat or whatever else. They said it was a wolf. Or, gosh, maybe there's a unicorn out there. I don't know. But, you know, furries do what they do. We'll get into it more. Let me get through these other two. Therians are the weirder ones. They claim to have the spirit of an animal trapped in their body, and they just act like that animal. They don't wear outfits that make them look like that animal typically. They just, you know, if they think they're a wolf, they'll probably howl a lot. If they're younger humans, they might run around on all fours sometimes. I think it's a cry for attention. Maybe just a scotch of mental illness. I'm not trying to knock these people at all. Some of them do it for fun. Most of them do it for fun. But we'll get around to stories here. Just give me time. The other kins claim to identify as something more mystical, like an elf or a dragon or a vampire or any of these entities, beings, whatever, that don't exist. And as bizarre as all this sounds, it has been spreading over the last 5 years or so to become commonplace, especially in schools. That's where it gets me. Why would schools let this happen? Unless they're doing it in the hallway between periods or at lunch. You know, I can see public schools having to accept it more because they're so politically correct. The private school where my kids are, you got to wear a uniform. And, you know, they're not strict. I don't think they paddle anymore like they did when I went there. But, you know, you're not going to run around the school acting like a cat, especially in class. It's distracting. But it happens. Some public schools kind of let it go, from what I've read, as long as it doesn't go too far. For instance, in Kentucky, a large group of students at this district school began dressing and acting like animals. Their behavior included hissing, barking, growling, and pretending to scratch others and each other. It became so disruptive, a petition was created and signed by over 1,000 people probably teachers and parents, to force the school to prohibit it from being in school. I guess it got prohibited, which probably made the kids want to do it even more so. You know, that's how that stuff works. You leave something alone and it's not that interesting. You tell them you can't do it, and then you're like, I got to do it. Because that's just the nature of youth. I know I used to be a youth, as we all did. Well, Kentucky's not the only place that this happened. In Twin Falls, Idaho, and we were just there this summer at the bridge where they base jump. They may free base before they base jump off the bridge. In Idaho, parents complained of teens acting like animals and disrupting class. The school denied any knowledge of this behavior. Well, parents in several other states have had the same issue. And many of these schools are doing nothing about it. Apparently, it's not harmful. And maybe they're slack and don't want to. I mean, who knows? If the parent, you would think the parents pay the tuition to these schools. The parents should call the shots. I would imagine the board, which is made up of parents, would do something about it. But if it's, again, it depends on where you are. In the South, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, you know, we're not going to stand for this ridiculousness. But you get in a blue state or a blue city where they go out of their way to be all accepting, when we're down here being all accepting too. We're just non-ridiculous for our students in class. You can't have that much power in a school as a student, or it's going to be abused because you're youthful. Anyway, then the rumor went out, and this is what my daughter's friends told her, and my daughter told me. There's this school between where I live, which is out in the country, and Madison, which is outside of the capital. There's a school in between called Germantown. Now, I remember when it was being built, except I didn't know it was being built and being named Germantown because it's in Gluckstadt, which is German for good luck, which was named that because when it was just middle of nowhere, fields and forest, after World War II, there was a really large German POW camp just outside of Jackson on the other side from where we are. And they were, after the war was over, they behaved so well and had a lot of freedoms. They were given a choice. You can go back to Germany, which had been, you know, the war's over. Half of Germany is run by the Russians like a gulag. It's completely destroyed. Their economy is destroyed. The word got out about the hundreds of death camps. Who would want to go back there? Well, they were given the opportunity and an amount of land out in the country here in Madison County. It's all developed now. Well, it's developed like, I'm really on a tangent here. It's like a bedroom community. It's a housing development, but it's upper scale. A lot of different little pods of these neighborhoods that are really nice. Anyway, so they, a lot of them chose to stay there. Many married Americans, and it's always had kind of a German underpinning. They would have German Fest, so they named it Germantown. Well, I didn't know the school. I didn't know they were building the school. What I knew was I'm seeing people in sweatshirts and t-shirts that say Germantown on them. And I'm thinking, why are all these people from Memphis down here? What are they doing down here? because there's a place outside of Memphis on the edge called Germantown. Someone told me, no, there's a school, they're building a public school because of all the people that are living out there now. It's called Germantown. I completely forgot why I brought up Germantown. Now I remember. My daughter's friends told my daughter that they had cat litter boxes in the bathrooms for the furries that go to school there. This was just recently, and I think that's why I'm doing this podcast now, was from this small story. And so my daughter's like, Germantown is an awful school. They've got, you know, this is a 15-year-old. They put litter boxes in their bathrooms for the kids who are furries, and they identify as animals, and they use the litter boxes. This even made it all the way to the most popular podcast. I don't know if it's in the world. It's definitely in the nation. Joe Rogan's podcast said schools around the country are putting cat litter boxes in their bathrooms for the furries. And he was against it. And I would be against it too. It's gross to have a cat litter box that they're using. Are they standing in it and peeing? Are they squatting in it and pooping? I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, I heard the rumor about Germantown School, but I just read that it was all over the country rumored that cat litter boxes are going in these schools, and that the principal and staff are putting them there and allowing them to be there for these kids. Well, it's apparently false as far as in schools go. In Iowa, it is said a girl requested a litter box in the girls' restroom. The school denied it. They denied the claim. But I read where Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oregon, California, just all over, Massachusetts, all over, this rumor is spread. And I talk about a rumor spreading. When you hear that rumor here in central Mississippi, it has gotten around. Like, it's probably been coast to coast a few times where it bounced through us. So, we're going to go into a new gear and just talk about furries. Demographically, the furry fandom, as they're known, is predominantly white male teens and 20s. There are young women who do it, but apparently, as the demographics are sorted out, it's young white males. Mostly, they represent, and this is what it said in this article, not the one I'm going to read later, but a different article, that they normally would be expected to be a typical geek or nerd subculture, God bless them, who had above average school performance. They say half are college students, wow. An interest in computers and science, a healthy, if not overly abused, passion for video games, which are huge these days. My son's kind of backed out of video games and more into watching videos now. Summer, she's well balanced. She does a little everything. They're into science fiction, fantasy, and anime. Now, less typically, and people don't understand this, in the general knowledge absorption from news cycles that are frequently wrong. It says here, though, less typical, however, is the fandom's LGBTQ demographics. Furries are 7 times more likely, though, than the general population to identify as transgender, and 5 times more likely to identify as non-heterosexual. Please note this does not mean homosexual. It very likely could mean asexual, non-binary, all these terms, you know, that people, they're creating all these sects. I can't even say it. Sects. And people go logging in and identifying as that square box with the title on it, instead of just laying back and letting things be and being themselves, being an individual. I've always promoted individuality. Not forced, but yourself, right? So, because of this composition, it should come as no surprise that the furry fandom is a community defined in no small part by its inclusivity. What is that, all that? I know what inclusivity means, but what does all that mean? They're very accepting. I would say they're probably unbiased except towards people who aren't like them or don't like them, maybe more than anything. The fandom embraces the norms of being welcomed, and they're non-judgmental to all. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's probably why it's still a thing after, you know, 5 or however many years it's kind of blossomed, so to speak. Well, the vast majority of furries create a fursona, aka persona, that is a furry-themed avatar-like being used to interact with other members of the furry fandom. Fursonas typically consist of one or more animal species, a name, and personality traits or other characteristics. Because it is fantasy-themed by nature, the furry fandom, the individual furries are free to create representations of themselves unbounded by reality. I mean, you can make up whatever you want. You can be creative. And that is not a bad thing at all. Now, a lot of this is kind of strange. It's weird. It's bizarre. But, you know, these days in the new millennia, it seems like nearly everything is a little strange or bizarre. I'm not going to get into politics because that's strange and bizarre, but it's also clinically corrupt to the bone, to the core, from the very top down. Anyway, we won't get into that. We're talking about furries. We're talking about people who dress up as mascots, except it's their inner persona. So with this unbounded reality, they can reconceptualize themselves with regard to age, gender, personality, or physical characteristics. They can be whatever they want to be. It's almost like drag queens, a little different. Research has shown most furries create fursonas representing similar but idealized versions of themselves. Well, that's duh. That would be obvious, you know, unless they wanted to be someone else. Many furries report that over time, their own self-concept tends to become more like that of their fursona, which seems like they would kind of unnaturally train themselves to become something else or more of an extension of themselves that they want it to be. I don't know how far this would go in the job world or being a parent, but people have gotten so weird these days, and so many, what would be the word, traditional families that worked and saved and made money and left it to their grown kids don't have to do your typical 9-to-5 day jobs. Depends on how they were raised. Depends on how it's set up. Um, examples of this will come along here shortly when I get to that article. Man, this is going to go long, but maybe not, maybe not, maybe not. Let me take a sip. All right. So their own personalities become more like their persona. Well, that may be due to the fact that over time, others begin to interact with them in that idealized self. So people are becoming characters and interacting, and these characters are becoming more valid. They're validating it and helping internalize it as themselves. Can this be harmful to the individual? Do they detach from reality? Obviously they do, and they're just playing around. But when life gets serious, can they process it properly? Like death, or having to make a big move, or, you know, real world things. Maybe they can do it. Maybe they can keep it separated. Ooh, that might be the song at the end. That's a teaser. Might not, though. Perhaps the most fascinating thing that a decade of research on furries can tell us. So apparently this has been going on more than 5 years. In the end, furries are no different than anyone else. Don't believe that. They have the same need to belong in their strange way. They need to have a positive and distinct sense of self. Sure, why cartoon-like, though? And a need for self-expression. I mean, I get these things. You're free to do it. It's just, how long does this stick with you before the real world steps on your face? Well, there were some interesting articles. I have two brief cuts from two articles, and I have one full article from Rolling Stone that kind of dips into actual furry behavior, good, bad, strange, and misunderstood. And I find some of it humorous. I find some of it heroic, kind of. And I find some of it extremely sick. And they say, I did read where 20% of the furry fandom are actually in it from a perverted angle, from a sexual angle, either dressed as animals with each other, or actually with animals, as I've read. I'm glad I have a sturdy constitution. There's some sickos out there. We all know this, though. But let us carry on. There was a furry fandom convention in California. And the DJ was outside smoking a cigarette or a vape or whatever. And there were other furries out front just getting some air, or maybe they smoked too. It didn't really say. They just happened to be out there. And a car pulled up to the curb, and a young man and woman were fighting in their 20s, I guess they were. And the man was starting to assault the woman, who was his girlfriend. Several people witnessed this. And some of these people went over because the woman was screaming. And the guy in there was being abusive. And four furries and the DJ dragged the dude out of the car and restrained him until police arrived, when someone else called the police. And I saw a picture taken of this scene. And it was four young men in full-on furry suits like you would wear trick-or-treating, I guess. You know, from the neck down, you know, all the way down your wrists on the sleeves, all the way down to your feet, the furry, you know, paw-like feet. But they didn't have their big, they didn't have their fake heads on. So this guy is assaulting his girlfriend in the car. I think he was 23. And the next thing he knows, he's being pulled out of the car by four guys and a DJ in what I guess he would think were a bunch of mascots from college teams. And he was in front of a mascot convention, but it was furry fandom. But he got booked for assault. And that's the good furry story. And most furries would be like that. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm always being honest, but you get it, right? Right. Okay, now they're in the dark corner. And I said 20% of furry fandom were the perverts in it for the sex. I really think it's way less than that. But all I've done is read about this stuff. And there's really not a furry fandom convention that I can just like go pop in and check out, you know, read the vibe. But there's still stories, and I read this one online. I found it of some real sickos, like mentally ill, evil sickos who take advantage of this furry fandom, etc. Anyway, some of them are called zoo sadists. It's a tiny group in the fringe of this subculture. There were these, I think it was in Washington and Oregon. There was a guy, a man who lived in his mother's house, whose online moniker is Snake Thing. And he and some of his online friends had met this furry online named Nacho Doggo. And apparently she was good looking, maybe flirty, who knows. But they liked her and they wanted to somehow drug her or get her drunk and drug her and rape her. And they texted and wrote about it online and fantasized about it. And apparently, let's see what it says here. The plan to rape Nacho Doggo was still secret when I saw the crime she reported in the Seattle News. So I don't know what crime she reported, but she was already on the radar. This was back in 2017. This is a reporter saying, I contacted Nacho Doggo and learned about the arrests of Noodles and Cupid. That's why I put this down just for their names, but it's fixing to get ugly. Noodles and Cupid were just two stooly buddies of Snake Thing. It was found that Snake Thing had actually bought a puppy and raped it. Oh my God. But by the time the knowledge of that awful action happened, it says here he escaped charges due to statutory limits. Well, I think of statutory rape. I may be not thinking correctly when I say once so much time goes by, you can't be convicted of a crime. Is that statutory? The statutes. I know it's statutes, so statutory will work. But apparently, he was arrested for the attempted, he and these two guys were arrested for the attempted kidnapping and rape of Nacho Doggo. So Noodles, Cupid, and Snake Thing went to jail. They were taking advantage of it. As evil and gross as they were. Gosh, that puppy, it's... I have some friends that are in the animal rescue. I hope y'all don't listen to this. I really do. I'm not even... No, I might put it on my Facebook page. I put it up on my host, Anchor, which puts it across the 6 platforms like Google and iTunes and Spotify and some smaller ones that no one knows exists. I thought recently I should try to get on iHeart America or iHeart Radio or whatever it is. But yeah. So we've gone through those notes. We're going to close them out. Don't save. And we're going to go into this story. We're going to close out with a story that was in Rolling Stone e-zine. Does the furry community have a Nazi problem? I mean, you can't make up this kind. You can't make up this kind of stuff. It's insanity. So in Rocky Mountain, in Colorado, there was a thing known as the Rocky Mountain Fur Con. A convention for enthusiasts who wear animal costumes ingrained with human characteristics for role-playing. Well, it got canceled. The board that organized it said the movement has grown into a community that promotes violence due to the drastic increase in costs for security for this event. It is not within our budget. We're not going to do it. Well, here's what happened. You hear my stomach growling? Dang. I ate duck stew. I'm doing good. This announcement came after the founder of a group called the Furry Raiders, which is weird because you see the Denver Broncos and the Las Vegas Raiders do not like each other. It's been a rivalry since, gosh, whenever the Broncos came on scene. The Raiders have been around since 1960, I believe. Anyway, why aren't they the Furry Broncos? I guess because they're Nazis. Or are they? Let's read and see. The Furry Raiders are an outlying group within the anthropomorphic subculture, aka the fandom. They adopted an armband which features a black paw on a red armband, and the black paw is on a white circle. And I'm sitting here looking at it in the picture thinking, that doesn't look anything like a Nazi swastika. It looks like a dog paw. But wait, listen. An outlier group within the culture created an armband that featured a black paw on a red background. And some thought it had a striking resemblance to part of a Nazi uniform. Oh. The convention chairman did not directly name the Raiders in his account, but they said that since they were identified at being in the center of the controversy and were labeled a neo-Nazi group within the community that supposedly largely exists online, they weren't having any of it. Well, a man who is 29 years old, lives in Fort Collins, Colorado, and is a furry, wears the armband as his Foxler Nightfire fursona. So we got to use their verbiage, their wordage. Fursona. I wonder what their pronouns are. And he was accused, because of this armband, of being neo-Nazi. Talk about easy triggers, man. Hair triggers. He denied any connection with his armband and that of the Third Reich. Online forums characterized the Furry Raiders as a neo-Nazi cult-like group, who recruited members with gifts, grooming, and manipulation. Oh my God. By a blog in the furry community. Can you imagine how PC these people really are about inclusive and non-inclusive? But Miller disagrees with their descriptions. He says, quote, "We have a strong stance about keeping equal rights and personal creativity within the fandom." So, like I said, if you saw this picture, you know, if you were 60 plus yards away, and, you know, more than anything, his outfit looks like something the lead singer from Green Day would wear. I mean, it's a paw print. It's not a, it's not a, any kind of German symbol. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Foxler Nightfire. So, oh, let's get some of these these Denver people with their monikers in. So, a furry identifying as Tasmanian Devil, very creative, tweeted, "Can't wait to punch Nazis," which led to another furry whose handle I cannot say, comment, "Watching you get shot by someone defending themselves from unprovoked assault will be far more entertaining." So here's where the violence starts stirring up, and they're like, let's just not have this furry brawl. What would you call it if a pack of wolves was fighting? Is there a word for that, where animals get into a big fight? Like a big dog fight? The Denver police investigated the comments and found threats credible enough to demand the host of the convention to hire off-duty officers for security at the cost of $22,000. Good gosh. I'm thinking they just didn't want to have it, or they wanted to rip you off. Big cities, man. You got to get out of your big cities. Get back to nature. Drop the fake and get with the real. All right. People overreacted, said someone told the Denver Post. As it got more and more heated, people started talking about beating up people wearing the symbol. They said, "We've got a right to protect ourselves, and we're going to bring weapons." Over a paw print on a red sash over a black kind of like shirt jacket with a red tie. That's what I'm looking at. That's what I'm seeing. I mean, people can't get past something to bitch about. What can they do? Okay, there's a bunch of RMFC, MAAC, blah, 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 blah. We're just going to skip that stuff. Oh, see, here is a guy with his armband at a furry inn at a park, and they've got Pride on a big cutout faux window, and it says erase hate at the bottom. But he's in his outfit. He's a wolf. I mean, how can you take that seriously when you're looking at what is basically a college mascot in big fake fur with just a nerd up under it, you know? Nerds with punching fists and weapons. So, saying here, Rocky Mountain Fur Con was created for all persuasions. Started in 07, wow. For the growing number of furries seeking acceptance in Colorado. The social events have since attracted furries mostly of millennial age. They've had literary events and guest speakers and hosting informational panels about what? A man named Gonzalez says it's just like any fan-based conference. Man. The furry raiders say they have no political agenda. A small group started the Furry Raiders Project, formed in the online virtual world Second Life, with no goals other than to help furries purchase items in the game, the founder Miller says. The group grew to 1,000 members over 3 years, and he got out of it because he could not afford to give furries real money to buy hairstyles for their characteristics or gardens and castles for their in-game properties. So is that online stuff, I guess? Gardens and castles? But in 2014, Miller resurrected the Furry Raiders after seeing media accounts describing their community not as a creative safe zone, but as a world for kinky fetishists. And they're out there. I mean, they're out there. And those are the weirdos for sure, gosh. But he just goes on here saying they're not like that. They're just simple people having a good time. It's a furry symbol. It's not a neo-Nazi symbol. He paid $700 to make 100 armbands for him and his friends and to sell. It became a part of his persona. People started telling him to change, and he said he wasn't going to do it. And they started calling him a neo-Nazi. And here's a weird thing. And his armbands resembled those worn by the Furzies, which were a contentious group of furries interested in German history and World War II. Well, if you put those two together, you got Nazis. But, I mean, you got other stuff too. Like the Gestapo. Now, is this a different guy? Someone describes themselves as a high school dropout, knowledgeable in computers but uneducated in history and politics. He reached out to the actual neo-Nazis. I told them I was a furry, and they said, "What the F is this shit?" They found out 60% of furries are gay males and told me, "Get the F out of here." That might not be true, though. You know, people are just so uneducated in reality. You know, shut your mouth and open your eyes and ears, right? God, people would be so much wiser if they just stop spouting what they think and listen and see to know, right? That's what I want y'all to do. So I'm not going to read any further because it's just the same crap over and over. Just the same crap over and over. I mean, Rolling Stone did an article on furries. The New York Post did an article on furries. It's just humanity loving nerds in, what are they called? College mascot outfits, acting weird. You can't, you know. Okay, so let's say, where are we on time? We're good. Let's say you're at FurryCon 22. And you're dressed up as like a cute wolf in a little suit. And you're just bebopping around the crowd like you feel like you're a wolf, I guess, or whatever. Can you imagine being on the wall up high or in a balcony or something, watching something like this go down, where all these people in all their mascot outfits are acting like that animal that they're dressed as? The growls and the clawing and the running around on all fours. I wonder if they sniff each other's butts. You know? I mean, how? It's Star Wars Cantina Bar stuff. I'm trying to be fair and balanced and non-biased about the whole furry phenomenon, because I believe in people doing what they want to do if they're not hurting anybody or stealing from anybody, you know, not breaking laws. But it would have to look surreal to see that going on. You know, going to the bathroom. Okay, you're in your big furry outfit and you got to go take a deuce. Do they have extra hangers everywhere in the bathrooms to hang up your outfit so you can go poop in a toilet like a human being? Because that's what you really are. I would like want to go to one of these, and I would just dress like me, but I'd have a name tag. And I would just write some name that is not me on it. And I would say, I identify as Fred. I'm Fred. And they say, well, is that your real name? And I'd say, no, I identify as Fred. And then I would trip out on all of what they're doing. I mean, would there be booths? Obviously, people would have stuff for sale. I guess there would be food and drink. How do you drink and eat with the mascot head on your head? I guess you take it off. Let me get back to the little scenario I was building up on. So you're bebopping around in your wolf suit. And maybe the way you act in your wolf suit is interesting. And maybe there's a young woman dressed in like a she-wolf suit that thinks the way you bebop around is endearing. And so, you know, she comes up to you, or vice versa. I guess you talk. Do you talk through your suits? Or do you just rub noses and sniff butts? And then maybe you, like, build a repertoire between each other and you want to get to know each other and you want to hang out. And so do you go somewhere else to take your heads off? Or do you just do it there in the room or over in the corner? You take your heads off and after, like, an hour of getting to know each other with your mascot head on, you take your head off and y'all are just like, nope, not attracted to you. Put your head back on. You know, nope, over. Weird, 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 man. It is a weird, weird world. I wonder if they said it was a weird, weird world in 1922. I guess maybe in cities, when country folk that have never been to a city goes to a city and they're just wide-eyed at all the things and the stores and the, you know, the cars, the, gosh, just technology that they didn't have. Now it's, you know, nothing shocking, really. You know, as far as things you see, info you hear, maybe if you're older, nothing shocking. Or if you're jaded, you know, I see this and I'm not shocked. I see this and I think, I'm glad I didn't waste any time in my life doing something like this. Instead, I was, you know, spent 7 years surfing, or spent a lot of my time in the winters hunting, or I make art, or I write novels, and just, you know, and be a dad, and be a son, you know, helping my mom out a lot now, and I'd rather do that and be a dad than anything. Because that's my life right now. And I'm good with it. I'm also a dog owner. I hadn't seen him. I think he's crashed out. Anyway, if any of you listening are furries, you go, man. Do it. Why not? But if any of you are zoo sadists, I suggest you stop before you go to jail. Because you're sick fucks. Ugh. Anyway. Be close with your family. Stay in touch with your friends. Be kind to strangers. Ripple of kindness. I'm hitting all the little points. Bop, bop, bop. And above all, we wish to propagate peace.
I'll make a shoehorn out of your shin. I'll make a lampshade of durable skin. No, don't you know that I'm always feeling able when I'm sitting home and I'm carving out your navel. I'm just a sitting here carving out your navel. When will I realize that this skin I'm in, hey, it isn't mine? And when will the kill be too much of me? Coffee table.